Yes, President Trump, let them know about it. Good afternoon, my friend Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Tuesday, July 30th, 2024. Just one more day and then we turn the page and head into August already. Can you believe it? I am really excited for the show today. I think I'm excited for the show just about every day. But today I get to have a couple people on the program with me that I'm very excited for you to meet on the radio if you haven't heard them on our programs already. And you're going to get a chance to meet them in person coming up in October. They will be making a visit to Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo for a special event that we are putting on. So excited to talk about that a little bit later as we roll through the show today. If you want to be involved in the program, you certainly can do that. 701-271-1100. You can email studio@flagfamily.com or you can text us at 701-237-1590. I am pushing the buttons today as well as saying the words. My friend Addison was on the way back from the Twin Cities, had some car trouble that bit him out of nowhere. And so I'm juggling all the balls again today, but it worked out okay yesterday. Nobody kicked me off the air. And to my knowledge, we did not violate any federal rules either. So we're back for another day here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. There's a ton of stuff going on today. And I know I say this every day, but there has never been a more important time for you to tune into what's happening here on the flag. There is so much news out there. There's no way that you can sort it all out. I spend about an hour right before the show, about an hour earlier in the day, trying to keep tabs on everything that I think you would like to hear about and that you would like to know about. And a lot of it is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So you've got to dig into it a little bit and find out exactly what's going on, why this is happening, and what the real story is. And as we apply that to the conservative playbook, does it add up? So I will help you do that today, and I will share with you what I have learned today. And we're going to have a good time here for the next couple of hours here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. We are coming to you live from the Precision Concrete Cutters studio. The Steve Hallstrom Show is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters in Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to pccnd.com to find out more. On the show today, we're going to talk about Project 2025. It is losing its leader. Is this a big deal or did we see this coming? We'll talk a little bit about that. We might get the strongest signals yet of a Fed interest rate cut this week. The question is, when will we get it? That we might learn this week, but it looks more and more like pretty much everybody's determined to make this happen. And I still don't know that interest rates have come down anywhere near where they should be doing an interest rate cut, but there's a more and more news every day about the economy and how people are struggling where the Federal Reserve might just say, you know what, we've seen enough. We're not going to get to where we thought we needed to go. We're maybe being a little bit of a sellout here, a little bit of a hypocrite. It might be in front of an election, but we're going to do it anyway. The problem is, unless you're cutting, I don't know, a percent and a half, 2 percentage points, are you really going to change a whole lot that is going to matter as far as stimulating more economic activity without raising prices? That is the tricky part of it. There's still a lot of free government money out there that's sitting in people's bank accounts. It doesn't feel that way to those of us that don't have any of it, but certainly it's that way for many people. In the 5 o'clock hour, we are also going to visit with a gentleman named Gordon Howey, former South Dakota state senator and state representative. And he got in contact with me. Thank you very much to this great audience. You have let people know from time to time when I'm interested in talking to somebody about a certain subject. And I said, I kind of know what the rules are in Minnesota about abortion. I know what they are in North Dakota, but I'm not exactly sure what the story is in South Dakota. So Gordon is going to come on the program and help break that down for us here on the show today. And before we finish up, the Twins might be back on your TV this week. There is a catch, though, so we'll talk about all of that. All right, it is time for us to get rocking and rolling here with the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines, as we go rapid fire to catch you up on what has been a very busy day. We start with the almanac. We like to talk weather here on the program to get us started each day. It is one of those I love these days, but it's not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. Another hot and humid day, 90 degrees with some humidity. I think that dew point's up in the 70s again. So a warm day, no doubt. Average high for this day is 83. So we're not that far above average, but we are above average for sure. Average low 59. Record high 102 back in 2006. Record low 39 back in 1970. 71. Taking a look at markets today, the Dow was up 203 points, the S&P 500 down 27, the NASDAQ down 222. WTI crude oil today down 53 cents at 75.28. Gold today at $2,408 an ounce, that's up $30.60. Silver up 66 cents to close at $28.53 an ounce. And in the cryptocurrency world, Bitcoin down about another 2% today at right around $66,000 per coin. So that's the story from the Bitcoin world. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is down a penny, $3.49 today. In North Dakota, it's $3.38, Minnesota $3.31, South Dakota $3.28. Diesel today unchanged from yesterday at $3.81 an ounce. What's happening in the news cycle today? Well, I'm glad you asked, because former President Trump's two VP runners-up, Senator Marco Rubio and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Axios reports, are in the running for Secretary of State within a Trump White House, should the former president get reelected coming up here in November. So Trump is not necessarily focused a lot on that right now, but there are a lot of top Republicans, says Axios, that are lobbying Trump advisors very hard for specific slots. And I think the rumor, or the current out in D.C., or at least with Trump in Mar-a-Lago, is that Rubio and Burgum, who were two of the finalists who did not get the VP nod, are going to get very high positions in the administration. And even though Doug Burgum has said cabinet position, I don't know. He said that when he was trying to be president. So my guess is he might be very interested in something like Secretary of State. Valley News Live reports that a past candidate for various statewide offices in North Dakota has made the November ballot in his bid for governor as an independent. Michael Coachman, Air Force veteran, Larimore resident, submitted a little over 1,100 valid signatures. He needed 1,000 to qualify, so he will be running as an independent. He announced his candidacy in February, but needed to do what he did in order to get on the ballot. Also in the news cycle today, Valley News Live reports that a woman arrested as part of that brutal downtown assault that involved about six people. This was back in maybe May. It was a little while ago. But authorities say that Angelica Hernandez was part of a group that assaulted three men in the 600 block of NP Avenue North. Six people altogether now have been arrested. One man suffered a broken nose, several broken bones, needed surgery to place a titanium plate in his forehead, also had slurred speech requiring speech therapy. Court paperwork shows Hernandez changed her plea to guilty yesterday, and she is scheduled to be sentenced now October 14th. Also in the news today, WeFest is beginning on Thursday. People are already in line. They started lining up on Monday morning. And Jelly Roll is going to be one of the headliners, as is Parker McCollum and Eric Church. And there are still some single-day admission tickets apparently still available for that. The Forum reports today that Minnesota's Attorney General, Keith Ellison, has filed a petition with an appeals court to review a panel decision that happened just a few days ago that struck down a state law prohibiting people under 21 years of age from obtaining a permit to carry. So in this case, the panel ruled, this was, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, that Minnesota's ban on concealed carry by young adults is unconstitutional. But now Ellison is saying that we don't think that that is an accurate ruling, and he thinks the court erred this month in ruling that the Second Amendment lets Minnesotans carry openly carry by people as young as 18. So the war on the Second Amendment continues, to nobody's surprise, in the state of Minnesota. Taking a look at some of the stories making headlines across our nation today, this quote jumped out at me today. The Secret Service is making changes in the wake of the assassination attempt against former President Trump, says the Epoch Times. The agency's new acting director was on a visit to Capitol Hill today in front of two Senate committees. And his name is Ronald Rowe, and he is the acting director now that Kim Cheadle resigned. Rowe told lawmakers today that he traveled to the site of that July 13th rally in Pennsylvania where the former president was shot. Rowe said, quote, "What I saw made me ashamed. As a career law enforcement officer and a 25-year veteran with the Secret Service, I cannot defend why that roof was not better secured." Talking about the place where the gunman took a shot that clipped President Trump's ear. So the reaction I'm hearing from people about his testimony today was people are saying, I like this guy. He seems to be a stand-up guy. He seems to understand the gravity of the situation. Seems like he wants to do it right and make some changes. So we can only hope. I've got a couple of economy stories here for you today. Number one, I told you yesterday about McDonald's. There's a new one almost every day, but another retail place or another food and beverage place reporting earnings on Wall Street is disappointing with the numbers they're coming in. Starbucks today, their quarterly earnings met expectations, but their revenue fell short of Wall Street estimates. And the coffee giant, you might remember, slashed its forecast last quarter. They say that they're in a sales slump and it's not going to end anytime soon in this economy. Meanwhile, Stellantis, the car company that has the Dodge and Chrysler brands, as well as Jeep, says it is going to once again reduce its U.S. employee headcount. So layoffs are underway there, are about to get underway as the company attempts to reduce costs and boost profits. So a couple of stories that make you think, okay, this might be what the Federal Reserve governors are seeing when they say, yeah, it might be time to go ahead and make some changes here. So we'll see what happens. But it's about every day now, especially in the hospitality, food and beverage, travel industry. We're seeing numbers that come in that are disappointing. People just aren't spending on the coffees anymore. They're not buying new cars as much as they used to because they're getting hit in the pocketbook in a number of different ways. Finally, the big international story today. Israel says it has targeted a Hezbollah commander in a rare strike in Beirut earlier today that killed at least one woman and wounded dozens of people. This coming after the escalating hostilities with the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. And you probably remember there were 12 young people that died in a weekend rocket attack in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. And so this was the get back from Israel. And you're going to hear, aren't you? You're not going to hear anybody on the Democrat side talk about the 12 kids that were murdered on the Israeli field. They're going to be talking about, oh, you injured several people and you killed a civilian and stop the genocide, right? That's what we hear all the time. All right, so that's a look at some of the stories making headlines here today on this Tuesday afternoon of the program. All right, when we come back on the show, we are going to do a few more things here before we get to the bottom of the hour. We are going to talk about Project 2025. It's losing its leader. Is this a big deal or just a regularly scheduled bit of programming? We'll talk about it coming up next. We're back with Dusty Richter from Starion Bank. We get a regular Tuesday chat with one of the good folks at Starion Bank. Always good to visit with those guys and find out what's going on there. Dusty, how are you doing today?
Steve, I am doing well. Thanks for asking.
You got it, man. So I want to talk a little bit about relationship stuff today as it deals with your industry. Everybody who's been in business for any length of time knows how important it is to have a good banker on your side. What makes the relationship between people like you and business people that are doing what they do every day so important to the growth of their businesses?
Yeah, it is important, right? I mean, I think having a good relationship with your business banker, you can really look at it as an extension of the business. The business banker really should be an advocate for your business, right, and can help with the success of it. From the bank's perspective, when the business owners are successful, the company is successful, and that helps the community. Strong community helps the bank, right? So it can be a full circle type of event. And having good relationships, having that open communication is important.
Yeah. So how can CEOs, business owners do their part to grow that relationship and make it work as good as it can so that they have full access to everything a good banker can provide?
Yeah, there's a variety of things they can do, and I can cover a handful of them here. I think one of the most important things to do is find the right business banker for you, for your business. You know, each business banker is probably has a strength in certain industries, maybe knows certain industries a bit more than others, right? You can't be an expert in all areas. So finding that right banker is very important. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure where to start on that, talk to some other business owners that you know. See who they use, see who they trust, give a call to a few of them and and try and set up some meetings with them. And in that meeting, you'll have an idea. All right, I think he's listening to me. I think we can get along and has that, maybe has that expertise to help your industry. You know, and that goes into the next one where communication is very important. You know, it's important that you have regular conversations with your banker, that they know what's going on. Again, the banker is an advocate for you within the community, but also at the bank, right?
Yeah.
He's there really to fight for your business, on making sure that the bank has the appetite and willingness to help out.
Yeah, I want to ask you. Sorry, Dusty. Just up against the clock a little bit, but I want to have you talk about showing up prepared, because you told me that's something you wanted to talk about. How do we do that?
Come prepared is important, right? And I think the biggest thing there is have your finances in order, and be open and honest with it. Make sure that you are ready to have the conversation of what your projections might be over the next 6, 12, 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
Have your finances readily available to at least give them paper copies, digital copies of last year's tax returns or your personal financial statement. Those are important items the banker needs, and really can't move forward without them. So make sure you have that information ahead of time and share it. Be open and honest with them.
Yeah, good advice. As you can tell, Dusty and his team, they want to reach out. They want to make good connections, be a good relationship partner with you. Find out more about them at starionbank.com or call 701-281-5600. Dusty, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it, bud. Have a good day.
You too, Steve. Take care.
Yep, you do the same. That's Dusty Richter, business banking officer at Starion Bank in Fargo. All right, we are pleased to be joined in the studio right now by our good buddy Tom Tucker from the Flag Family Newsroom. But unfortunately, I have to tell you that I can't use that title for much longer. Tom has taken a new opportunity in our community. We're very excited for him, but sad to see him go. Tom, this is the last opportunity. I'm out the rest of the week, and you got a couple more days left here. But last chance that you and I get to do the 4:30 news. So I just want to say thanks for all your great work. And tell the folks about what you're going to be doing.
Thanks, Steve. First off, I just want to say thanks to you and Scott Hennon. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be working with you and the team here at the Flag and WDAY. It's been a privilege and an honor, and I'll continue to be a fan and continue to keep track of all the successes that you and the team enjoy here. But yes, as you mentioned, I will soon be starting serving in a new role as Director of Development for Capstone Classical Academy in Fargo. I've been directly involved with the school since its founding 2 years ago. My wife works at the school, and our 8-year-old son attends the school as well. So this is just a wonderful opportunity that I'm very excited about. I sincerely believe in the mission and the work of Capstone, and there's so much community support for the academy already. So I'm just really looking forward to serving in this new role, but leaving with mixed feelings, because it's been a joy serving you and our listeners here.
Well, you're going to get into the sales world now. It's a little different hat than the reporting world that you've been in.
Yep.
What are you most, or what would be some of the challenges and adjustments that you think you'll have to make?
Well, thanks, Steve. Yeah, you know, it is kind of a sales role. You're right. I've worked in sales and marketing a couple of occasions over the past several years when I was out of broadcasting for a little while. Some of the challenges, I think, will just be, connecting with people and new donors and encouraging them to give to a very worthy cause, especially in economic times that we're in right now when things are relatively tight and people are kind of watching their pocketbooks pretty closely. But again, there's been a tremendous support already. I believe this is the Lord's work that is happening at Capstone. So I think because that is the case, I think the school will continue to enjoy fantastic support. And we've got a brand new building that's going up in South Fargo. Eventually, it will house 540 students, grades K through 8. And everything so far that I've seen there has just been nothing but first class.
Well, 220 kids are enrolled for the fall semester. Mm-hmm. It's growing like crazy. And when you see the kind of work those students are doing, you kind of understand why it's growing. And a lot of really good things that are happening there. And so we know that you're going to certainly add another great piece of ammunition to what they're doing over there. So we wish you all the best. We're going to miss you, buddy, but we're going to be cheering you on. And I'm sure we'll bump into you here and there around town.
Oh, by all means. I want to be doing some PR and marketing work as well. So hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have a chance to have some more conversations on air about what's happening at Capstone and in classical Christian education as well, Steve. But again, thanks to you and Scott for everything.
You got it. Well, tee it up for us one last time here, big boy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. To topping news here this afternoon, Fargo City Commissioner Dave Pepcorn says he wants to reduce funding to these city departments as part of an effort aimed at balancing the city's budget. The city commissioners are now discussing the mayor's proposed budget for 2025, and the plan calls for a budget increase of 11.5%. Pepcorn made the comments while appearing on the Jay Thomas Show. Also this afternoon, a local precious metals dealer is warning about a scam happening here at the Metro, which he says many people, unfortunately, are falling for. Jack Seaman, owner of Mindak Gold and Silver, says several people have come into his stores trying to sell the fake gold jewelry they've purchased from scammers. Seaman says in many instances, the jewelry features stamps reading 18 karat. He says the scammers sometimes will show up in parking lots, at gas stations, grocery stores, and other retail locations. So kind of an unfortunate situation impacting too many people here at the Metro, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. All right, my friend, thanks very much for the update, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve. God bless you and your family.
Tom Tucker, senior reporter here in the Flag Family Newsroom. Always a well-done report whenever Tom is in charge, no doubt about that. Speaking of good work, let's send it over to the Skywatch Weather Center right now. Meteorologist Justin Storm is on duty, keeping an eye on a warm afternoon. Justin, what are we looking for this evening and going forward in the rest of the week?
Well, going throughout this evening, we'll watch for a few isolated and scattered storms possible out in central North Dakota. However, for us here in eastern North Dakota, especially in Fargo, it's just going to be a little hazy sunshine out there, hot and humid. We're at 89 degrees right now. We'll top out about 91 for this afternoon. Southeast wind remaining light around 3 miles an hour right now. We'll see that again between about 5 and 15 throughout the rest of the day. So just kind of catching a lull in the wind, or maybe just some light wind in between readings across the hours. We'll see the wind going lighter, though, as we head into the overnight hours, and we'll have a possibility for a few isolated storms to form in eastern North Dakota that could be on the strong to severe side, although I think most of our area is going to be dry. We might not even see any storms at all, but potential for a storm to develop will be there for the overnight hours, so something that we will keep an eye on, because if it's able to form, it could be on the strong to severe side, with wind and hail being the main threat to that. Outside of that, chance for a couple of storms tonight. It's just going to be partly to mostly cloudy. Temperatures right around 71 degrees and a south wind between 5 and 10. And as we head throughout our middle of our week, we'll see a better chance for some storms. Now, tomorrow morning, right around sunrise, we'll likely see some more storms south of I-94, more into South Dakota, and then pushing into Minnesota. Those storms will likely be on the strong to severe side, and we may see a few of them reaching as far north as around the FM metro, but I think the bulk of it will stay south Wednesday morning. Throughout the rest of the day of Wednesday, we'll just watch for a few pop-up storms, again, that could be on the strong side. Otherwise, it's partly cloudy to partly sunny, smoky and hazy, upper 80s. Humid with a southwest wind around 5 to 15. Thursday, we should dry things out for most of the day. There may be an isolated shower in the morning, but the rest of the day just looks like some partially hazy, sunny skies. Temps again right around 90 degrees, light wind, and we'll hang on to light wind through most of the rest of the week with temperatures a couple degrees either side of 90 all the way into the weekend, with an exception for Sunday. We'll start to get some Canadian air spilling down, dropping us into the 80s, possibly even the upper 70s only for high temperatures. But along with that, over Saturday and Sunday, what do you know, like every other weekend we've had, there will be some hit or miss showers around the area, Steve. Right. And this weather is brought to you by Air Mechanical of Fargo.
All right, young Natalie's getting married on Saturday, and it looks like not much of a chance of rain from what it sounds like you're talking about here.
Getting married here?
Just a little west of town here.
Just a little west of town. You know, there may be a pop-up shower, but it's favoring late in the day, and they're going to be hit or miss. So nothing overly widespread, Steve.
Okay, sounds good, Justin. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate the update, as always. Justin Storm checking in from the Skywatch Weather Center. All right, short break for us. When we come back on the other side, bringing in some serious star power for our next segment, we're announcing today a special event. You will not want to miss it. We'll give you all the details, and our two featured speakers will be with us coming up next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. We are back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. It is 4:41 here on this Tuesday afternoon, and very excited for this next conversation we get to have today. Not every day you have multiple Emmy Award winners on your show at the same time, but today is one of those days. And we are so excited about an event that is coming your way that is going to be brought to you by Flag Plus and AM 1100 The Flag. You'll be able to join us on October 17th at the Avalon Event Center in Fargo. Going to be a fantastic night with two of the region's best media minds. Michelle Tafoya has starred on some of the biggest stages in professional sports and media, host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast on Salem Networks. Liz Collin, a rising national star after a decorated career in the Twin Cities TV news industry, recently having dropped the bombshell documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. And by October 17th, we're going to be just a few days away from the election, and you're going to want to be in the room to listen to these two fantastic media professionals visit and give you a perspective about the world around us, including a key swing state of Minnesota, which is definitely going to be front and center for a lot of us here as we head into November. Liz and Michelle are kind enough to visit with us and be with us here on the show today. Ladies, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here on a busy afternoon. Michelle, I'll start with you. What message are you looking forward to sharing that night?
I think it's going to be so great to be there with Liz, because Liz and I share a lot of things in common, but I think the primary value that we both cherish is honesty in journalism and asking questions. And so I'm going to be there to encourage the audience to talk about tougher issues, to talk about stuff that you really have questions about, and to encourage people, actually. One of the things that I found, and one of the reasons, honestly, that I left my career in sportscasting was that people were either afraid to speak because they were worried about them. And that mindset hopefully has to change. Not everyone has to. No one's obligated to do it. But the more people we have engaging in the bravery and the courage to go out and ask questions, as the one side says, hold truth to power, or whatever that is.
Yeah.
We ask those questions and be brave enough to push back on everything you're being told.
Boy, that's such a great perspective. Liz, how about you? What are you looking forward to visiting with our audience about on October 17th?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. And just to echo what Michelle was talking about, I've told Michelle this before, but she was really an inspiration. Me, she jumped ship from the corporate media world before me, but such an inspiration to say, you know what, I'm not crazy. There's other people like us, and you know, we don't like pushing these divisive, you know, dangerous narratives. And we've kind of got caught in this world where there's your truth and there's my truth, and I'm a firm believer that there's just the truth. And that's what I tried to bring to light in the Fall of Minneapolis, and even my book, They're Lying, and it's what we try to do over at Alpha News as well, just focus on a lot of those things that the mainstream media seems to ignore. I'm going to be honest, I'm a little worried. What the heck are we even going to be talking about come October?
No kidding, huh?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows everything that's happened just in the last month?
Yeah, you know, it feels to me like when COVID broke out in the spring of 2020, like every 10 minutes, it seemed like there was some haymaker news story or cancellation, or this was now changing for who knows how long. And it's just impossible to keep up with everything. I want to ask you, and Michelle, I'll start with you on the question about Kamala Harris now in for Joe Biden. We've got white dudes for Kamala, white women for Kamala. There's a club springing up every 10 minutes for Kamala Harris. Do you think she's getting a big bump right now, obviously, because she's just not Joe Biden anymore? And so that has a lot of people excited just for another alternative. But do you think the polling that she's pulling right now, can she sustain that going forward? Or do you feel like once people start to dig into her record a little bit, that some of that luster might fall off the apple?
Liz first?
We'll start with you, Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's the question of the moment, isn't it? You know, if you're riding a bike uphill, how you have to do switchbacks to like go back and forth so you can actually get up the hill. This last few weeks felt like just a series of switchbacks, and we're all having whiplash from it. We went from the assassination attempt of Donald Trump to a highly successful Republican National Convention to Joe Biden being pushed out of the running to Kamala Harris stepping in, and suddenly she's gone from one of the least popular politicians in America to the darling of the Democrats. It's amazing. They really wanted an alternative to Biden, and so now they have it. And you're right. I think these white dudes and white women for Kamala, the enthusiasm is there. There's no question they're excited to get behind her. But I think it's really, again, this is where you ask questions and you push them, you know, against the narrative. Why? Why do you want to vote for her? What has she shown you that makes you feel good about putting her in the White House? And I hope those are the questions that get asked. And I hope that her record, as much as they're trying to erase it, I hope that comes back to the forefront and we can really ask her questions and ask about what the future would look like with her in the White House.
Yeah, Liz, I heard Jimmy Failor earlier today say it won't be too long until the White House is going to be denying that Kamala Harris was even vice president, which is kind of how it's going. They take whatever role she had and, oh, no, she didn't do that. That wasn't her in charge of that. Do you think that her record can stand the test of the electorate here and that she could potentially win an election in November? Or do you think that it's just a matter of time until people figure out what's really happening?
You know, I'm kind of focused on what is going to happen in Chicago with the DNC. I'm not exactly convinced she's even going to be the candidate, although it obviously seems to be. But nothing will surprise me on that side. You know, we are supposed to be the people who are a threat to democracy. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, where somebody who's very unpopular as a vice president is just now picked. We've been focused on Tim Walz, our governor in Minnesota, being a top contender, it seems, as a VP pick. And there's plenty of material there as he seems to be really forcefully trying to put himself on the national stage. So no shortage of material, that's for sure.
Yeah. You both talked a little bit ago about being willing to be brave and not care what people think and what arrows might be in your back. And both of you have had to reach behind you and pull arrows out, no question about that. Liz, in your case, what gave you the strength to do what you did and say, you know what, this newsroom is not my home anymore, and I'm not welcome here, I'm not comfortable here, I've got to do something new, and be willing to speak out and do what you've done at Alpha News? What's given you the courage to do that?
You know, I've always been a big believer, a person of faith. I prayed about it for a long time, and I just got to the point where, you know, people would say, you know, aren't you afraid of stepping out or pushing back? And I really, what would keep me up at night, I was really afraid if I didn't. I knew that I had gifts and talents I could use in a different way. I knew I was privy to, you know, some information that wasn't really put out there. And, you know, thankfully we live in a media landscape now where something like this is possible. You don't need the big fancy newsroom in downtown Minneapolis anymore. In fact, I think that's still boarded up and they're watching, you know, drug deals daily in downtown Minneapolis outside the newsroom. So, you know, things have certainly changed, and, you know, I'm thankful to have the opportunity, you know, to give a voice to a lot of people who I think wouldn't have one in Minnesota if, you know, it wasn't for Alpha News and bringing a lot of this to light, which I know is what Michelle does with her podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michelle, you've been on some of the biggest stages in professional sports, the Olympics, the NBA. And people get mean, man, when they find out that you are not one of them and you're on the quote other side, they are absolutely vicious. What's given you the courage to make the steps that you have?
You know, I started working on just a thicker skin. To be in this business to begin with, you have to have a thick skin. And I was really put through the fire my whole career. You know, you make a mistake on the air, it's live television, you're going to get lambasted. You're going to get criticized. And so there came a point during all of this, and I think in particular with social media, I'll be honest, where I thought, wow, I have complete strangers saying things about me that are so off base. These people don't know me. And I decided to not pay attention to those comments anymore because they don't know me. And by the way, when a bunch of people criticize you and they don't know you, you can do two things. You can cower in the corner and go, oh, God, that hurts so much, I just can't do it anymore, and shut up. Or you can say, why would I give that power to these complete strangers to dictate how I feel about myself and what I'm going to say. And so it just over time, I just kept flexing that muscle. Why should I care? Why should I care? And, you know, and look, yes, it's, there have been some people, it's been really difficult. And then there have been other people where it's, you know, it's easy to say, I don't know you. You have 12 followers on Twitter. I don't care what you have to say. So that's kind of, you know, it is not easy. I don't want everyone out there to think, oh, it's just easy. No. And Liz can say the same. I know it's not easy, but it's necessary because, again, the other side, quote unquote, really wants you to cower in the corner and shut up because they don't want to debate you. They don't want to have a civil disagreement. They just want you to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well said. So before I finish up, I have to ask you, ladies, Minnesota's my home state. I believe both of yours as well. I've seen the numbers. It looked pretty good when Joe Biden was in. Doesn't look quite as good now in some of the early polls with Kamala Harris. But is there a chance that Minnesota goes red, Liz, in November?
Gosh, you know, I was in St. Cloud on Saturday with thousands of other people. It was pretty amazing to see when we drove in just in the afternoon. I think the line was a couple miles long to get into the Herb Brooks Arena that night. And I actually had the opportunity to interview former President Trump, which was pretty amazing. Not gonna lie, he's a funny guy, nice guy. Don't tell anybody that. but I don't know. It does seem that the enthusiasm is there, and I don't see people turn out in those kind of numbers much. And I've been covering the news here for more about 20 years. So.
Yeah, Michelle, I don't think the president would have come here if he didn't think there was a shot, right?
Right. And, you know, he did it the last go around as well. And so, yeah, he's willing to take states that people think aren't in play. It's not like he's going to go out to California, although he has. He's gone to Silicon Valley and done fundraisers. So he can. He's just not afraid to go anywhere. And that turnout here was enormous. Right now, it seems like the momentum is behind Kamala Harris. But this election is, what, 98 days away?
Yeah.
That's a lifetime, as we've seen. So much can happen every single day in this thing. So we'll watch it. I hate to say it. I'm not that optimistic because if she pulls in Tim Walz, I think the strong liberal turnout here in Minnesota may be just too much and will help win this state. But be careful what you wish for, Minnesota, because Tim Walz has failed on a number of levels here in Minnesota. You just think back to the riots during the summer of 2020. You think of the fraudulent school meals thing that took place. We've lurched way, way to the left in Minnesota since he's been in office.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as you can tell, it's going to be a dynamite evening with these two here in Fargo. Thursday, October 17th at the Avalon. Go to am1100theflag.com. Buy your tickets now. Tickets start at just $15. We wanted to make tickets available to first responders, veterans, teachers, law enforcement members. And so there's something in every price range. VIP tickets as well available for a little reception ahead of time where you can meet and get a picture with Liz and Michelle. So it's going to be a fantastic night. We hope that you'll be able to join us. And Liz and Michelle, we thank you. We know you ladies are very busy. There's a lot going on in your worlds. And for you to take the time to come up here and bless us with your perspective and get us excited about getting involved and being courageous like you have talked about, it's going to make our whole community better. So we can't thank you enough, and we're really looking forward to having you up here. And it'll be here in about 10 minutes, right, the way time goes these days. So thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care so much. Thanks so much. Very much appreciative of your time. That's Liz Collin and Michelle Tafoya. Go online to am1100theflag.com. And get your tickets today. Should be a great time. All right, a short break for us. When we come back, couple notes, couple emails have come in. We'll hit those next on the Steve Holstrom Show. Here we go. Hour number two of the Steve Holstrom Show. The Steve Holstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to pccnd.com. to learn more. Coming up in this hour of the program, we're going to find out what the lay of the land is in South Dakota when it comes to abortion rights and abortion protections down there, what you can and cannot do. We were talking about this the other day in North Dakota and then talked about Minnesota, and I said, not exactly sure what the rules are in South Dakota, so we're going to find out. Gordon Howie, former South Dakota State Senator and State Representative, will be with us here on the program to talk about that. We've got a lot of time to talk here during this hour, however, you and me. If there's something on your mind, I'd love to hear from you at 701-271-1100. I hope you'll be able to join us on October 17th with Liz and Michelle. We talked about that in hour number one. Remember, the tickets are now on sale at am1100theflag.com. I got a few different levels of tickets there. And if you are a Flag Plus subscriber, you get $20 off your ticket. You're going for darn near nothing. And that's one of the many great benefits that you get by being a Flag Plus subscriber. Jay Thomas, Scott Hannon, and I also do a weekly roundtable where we talk through some of the issues of the day. We call it the Common Sense Club, and you find it only on Flag Plus. And it's something we enjoy doing. We're all conservative, but we get there a little bit different. We all have kind of our certain DNA within the movement, and it's fun to compare perspectives. We get after each other once in a while, but for the most part, we just enjoy talking about faith, family, freedom topics with all of you. So go to flagfamily.com/plus, and you can subscribe there. It's only $10 a month or $100 for the whole year. That's a better deal. And you get stuff all year long. You get a column that I write each week. You get the Common Sense Club with myself and Jay and Scotty, plus discounts on concerts and events like we're talking about with Liz and Michelle. There's going to be some merchandise coming this fall as well, too. So lots of good stuff on the way for you and there already at Flag Plus. Go to flagfamily.com/plus. All right, let's get to the top five at five. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. All right, these are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Stories that pass the so what test in my mind. I first tell you today that Doug Burgum is in the running for Secretary of State if President Trump gets reelected in November. This according to Axios, who reported that Doug Burgum, the current North Dakota governor, who is was under consideration for the vice president role, he was passed over for J.D. Vance. Same story with Marco Rubio. But Rubio and Burgum now are two people who are in the running for Secretary of State, according to Trump sources telling Axios News. I think that's very interesting. That's not just any old cabinet position, no question about that. Story number two, we have a new candidate in the running for North Dakota governor. So we said Doug Burgum is not running. He is going to be finishing up his term and then going to do likely something in D.C. Well, it's going to be, we know, Merrill Pepcorn, the Democrat, Kelly Armstrong, the Republican, and now Michael Coachman, the Independent. A Larimore resident, U.S. Air Force veteran, he submitted 1,141 valid signatures, says Valley News Live. He needed 1,000 to qualify, and so he now has fulfilled all of the requirements to be on the November ballot, and he will be running as an Independent. Story number three, this one's a little complicated, but it's worth sorting through this one because it's a very interesting story. Minnesota's attorney general, reports the forum today, has filed a petition with an appeals court to review a panel decision that came down on July 16th that struck down a state law prohibiting people under 21 from obtaining a permit to carry a firearm. In the case Worth versus Jacobson, the panel on July 16th ruled that Minnesota's ban on concealed carry by young adults is unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. Federal judges, it says, have consistently sided with the plaintiffs in the lawsuit first filed in 2021. Earlier this year, the Eighth Circuit ruled against the state's motion to dismiss the case and backed a lower court ruling that found the law unconstitutional. So what Keith Ellison now is saying is this decision that came a couple weeks ago is incorrect. Basically, the appeals court opened up the possibility for people under 21 to have a permit to carry. Ellison says that should not be the case. He does not want you having a permit to carry if you're under 21. So it's this back and forth you get. And this is one of their hills that they will die on, is the gun thing. And so Keith Ellison being the faithful soldier for the liberal cause in this one. Starbucks revenue report, CNBC, missed estimates as same-store sales declined for the second straight quarter. Company's revenue fell short of Wall Street's estimates. The coffee giant has slashed its forecast the last several quarters and is predicting it's in a sales slump that will not end anytime soon. The coffee giant had traffic in its U.S. stores dropping by 6% in the second quarter. And in the finance world, you see a lot of numbers like that. 6%, 5%, 10%, whatever. When you see the number 6, and that's your traffic falling 6%, that's a significant number. You're talking about millions of dollars of revenue. Basically, there were 100 people going into the store in the first quarter, and in the second quarter, there were 94. So that's a big drop in one quarter. You know, annualized, that's a 24% drop. If they drop 24% over the course of the year, Starbucks is in trouble with a capital T. And finally today, got to throw this in there for all of you that like to get out and hunt in the fall, but a North Dakota Game and Fish has weighed in on duck and pheasant outlooks. This story coming from the forum today. The spring pheasant crowing count was up 37% statewide from last year. Think about that. We talk about 6% being significant. 37% increase from last year, while the spring duck index declined to 2.9 million, down from 3.4 million last year. So more pheasants to shoot at, maybe a few fewer ducks. And those are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. You can argue with me about hunting, but for a lot of us, that's a big, big deal. So I wanted to make sure that we passed that along before we went much further on the show here today. All right, when we come back, we're going to visit with a gentleman who knows a lot about South Dakota politics. He's been in the South Dakota Senate, the South Dakota House of Representatives as well. His name is Gordon Howie, and we're going to meet him and find out what the situation is in South Dakota with the abortion rules. What are the laws? Is it similar to North Dakota, more similar to Minnesota? We're going to talk about that because it came up the other day that we knew the story for Minnesota and North Dakota very well, but needed to check in on South Dakota. We'll do that next on the Steve Holsham Show. The Steve Holsham Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com. to learn more. All right, we're going to head down I-29 a little bit here this afternoon and visit with a new guest to our program and someone that can give us a good perspective on what's happening in South Dakota. Gordon Howie is a former senator and state representative in the state of South Dakota. I was talking a few days ago on the program about abortion rules and I mentioned out loud to all of you that I've got to find out what the story is on South Dakota so we can compare a little bit, just have that little piece of knowledge in our toolbox. And I got an email from a very kind listener who said, the man you want to have on is Gordon Howie. And thankfully, he's been good enough to give us a few minutes here today. Gordon, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Good to have you on today.
Good afternoon, Steve. Very kind of you to call me, and I'm happy to share what I can.
Absolutely. So we've been talking a lot about the battle over life in this country, and abortion rules, and how that was such a major part of the 22 midterm elections. And it likely will play some role in the 24 election as well, as we will have a new president. We know that here in November. Can you just give us maybe a good quick overview of what the laws are in the state of South Dakota, as it applies to abortion rights in the state?
Yes, back in 2010 or maybe a year or two before, when I was in the state legislature, we passed what we called a trigger bill. And what it said simply is that if and when Roe v. Wade was overturned, abortion would be banned in South Dakota. So as soon as the Supreme Court ruled, that bill went into law in the state of South Dakota. So that's our current law. Right now, though, there is a ballot initiative called Amendment G, which would basically change our state constitution to make abortion a constitutional right in South Dakota. It would remove all regulation on first trimester abortions, which I'm told is like 93.5% of all abortions, and basically allow abortion up to the time of birth. So that's a quick overview of what is going on in South Dakota.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, so similar to what we have in North Dakota, Iowa, which is another state that is putting some kind of a ban in, kind of got us all talking about this because that went into effect just a couple of days ago, that Iowa is now banning most abortions after 6 weeks. So there's a six-week law in Iowa. But it is obviously much more restrictive than what you see in Minnesota. And so the point I had made, Gordon, is we're kind of surrounding Minnesota with states that are trying in some way or shape to promote and protect life.
Well, that's true. Although in South Dakota, I've kind of stepped back from the political fray for a number of years. But when this Amendment G came out, I said I can't be quiet about it. We have a website. If it's okay, I'll give
Absolutely.
That website.
Please do.
It is South Dakota, the number 4, life.com. Encourage people to go there, and we share information, and if they are inclined, they can contribute to help us fight Amendment G. But one thing that Amendment G does in South Dakota, and I don't know about North Dakota, but in South Dakota, Amendment G would also pave the way for public funding of abortion. Because right now in the state of South Dakota, quote unquote family planning is something that is publicly funded. Well, you can only imagine that if abortion becomes a South Dakota constitutional right, it would be hard. The state would be hard pressed to deny public funding for abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of dominoes that fall in things like that. Absolutely. Has there been polling in South Dakota at all to give us a sense of how the public feels about this?
One poll that we've seen shows us 20 points down. Another poll shows us 3% down. And so it's kind of all over the map and depend on which poll you believe. But it's amazing, the people that I talk to in South Dakota, how few of them even know that there is an Amendment G, much less what it really does. So our battle, we feel, is to inform the public. We really believe South Dakota is a pro-life state when they have all of the facts, when they have the information. So we're doing everything we can do. We need all the help we can get to inform the public so that we can defeat this amendment.
Yeah, I've been reading a little bit about this. It looks like Montana and Nebraska, also kind of in the sort of upper Midwest Great Plains areas, have a similar sort of a measure that's going to be on the ballot as well. North Dakota does not. I imagine it's just a matter of time until someone will try to get that done. I think in the state of North Dakota, I'm trying to remember what the number is. I think it's about 40,000 signatures. In South Dakota, I think it's about 35,000. So if you get 35,000 people to agree on anything, you can put it on the ballot. I'm surprised that you're seeing polling it, that there's a 20% margin on that one way or the other. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. Now, and I don't know when that poll was taken. Something, just another bit of information, is Colorado also has a ballot initiative on this, and the South Dakota ballot initiative is written in such a way that it really, you know, they couch these ballot initiatives in the most they spin it in the most quote positive way, making it sound as appealing as they possibly can. But at the end of the day, what it does is take the life of unborn children, and it destroys the life of an expectant mother. They have to deal with this for the rest of their lives.
We've had a call come in here to the studio, and we welcome a caller here. Good afternoon, caller. What is your question for Gordon?
Hey, this is Ryan from South Dakota, from Aberdeen, South Dakota. I think I have an inkling of why the polling on this matter might be a little chaotic and confusing. I think it's due in large part to people's distaste for absolutism. I guess there's a sense of people don't want abortions, you know, abortionists to have free reign. But I think a lot of people also want exceptions for cases of things like rape or incest. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a sentiment that I personally share, but I think that that idea that, yeah, we want abortion to be mostly legal except unless, I think that is what is reflecting in that kind of odd polling.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ryan, for giving a call. We appreciate it. Gordon, your thoughts on that? I think that's, I mean, wherever abortion is not popular, I think that's what you hear is, you hear a lot of people say, you know, I personally am not in favor of aborting a fetus, but I don't feel like I should be making rules and laws that govern other people's bodies. So I think what Ryan is saying is something that probably a lot of people will tell you that's the biggest concern about some of these rules.
Well, yeah, I'm against abortion, but, well, the word he used was absolute, and there are two absolutes in that discussion. One, the baby is absolutely going to die, and the mother, the expectant mother, is absolutely going to be plagued with this horrific event for the rest of her natural life. My point is that this is bad. It would be bad law, be bad to put it in our state constitution. We can do better than this. And even if you support some exceptions, okay, then let's defeat Amendment G and let's have a real discussion about how we can do something better. And frankly, I had a conversation with the author of this amendment, and I said, look, why don't you and I just invest the energy that we're expending on fighting over this issue? Let's instead expend it on some positive things, like let's make adoption more affordable, easier and more efficient. I have a granddaughter who, she and her husband have tried to adopt a child for the last 2 years. They've spent over $100,000 and still have not been able to adopt a child. And this is a remarkable young couple. Yeah. We can do better than this.
Absolutely we can, yeah. Well, Gordon, we appreciate you taking a few minutes here today to shine some light on what's happening down in South Dakota and give us a sense of that. Before I let you go here, I know we've got to get to our news report here in a minute, but I want to ask you, Kristi Noem is now basically halfway through a second term as governor of South Dakota, and I'm curious as to how her popularity remains in the state. We all heard about the dog story and everything else like that. She seems very popular when we see her at places like the Republican National Convention. Does she still enjoy the same popularity in South Dakota that she always has?
You know, Steve, I served in the legislature with Kristi, and so I know her, and I talk to people. I listen, frankly, I mostly listen these days, but she has invested a lot of political capital in some things that have dinged her popularity. I think she's still popular, largely popular, but I think some of that has begun to wane.
Okay.
I'm not publicly critical of her. I think she's done some things very well, and so I'll leave it at that and just say I think her record will speak for itself, and at least some of that, I think, has been very good.
Okay. Well, she won 76-23 in the primary back in 2022, and then the general, she beat the Democrat 62-35. So she has a little bit of oil that can leak out of the pan before it gets too bad, but you don't want to go too much further down that road. That's for sure.
Right. That's
all right.
Right.
Gordon, hey, thank you very much for taking the time. Great to meet you. Thanks for the perspective on our great neighbors to the south. And you take care and keep standing up for faith, family, and freedom down there, okay?
Yes, we certainly will. You too. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks so much. Former South Dakota Senator and State Representative Gordon Howie joining us here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, well, we've got to get to the newsroom for a check of weather. When we come back, something that I don't get stunned by too many things anymore, but I was stunned by a poll that came out that was done by the Gallup people. They know how to do polls. And almost one in four Americans say they believe it's acceptable to have more than one spouse. Yeah, polygamy. Apparently more people are down with it than you might expect. So we're going to talk about that and a few other things when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. If you've got a comment, question, your thoughts on Kristi Noem. Do you think that her reputation has taken any of a hit with the dog story or anything else that's going on? She's kind of made some flirtations about having a bigger stage politically. It hasn't really happened. I can tell you from being at the Republican National Committee, she is a rock star out there, and people follow her around like the Pied Piper. But what is your sense on Kristi Noem's popularity? We'll talk about that and a few other things as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I believe that Saturday is going to be a lovely day, but boy, I will be a big old pail full of emotions. I am giving away my daughter on Saturday. And yes, I would say I get to give away my daughter on Saturday. Natalie is getting married to a wonderful young man, comes from a great family, good farmers, good patriots. They farm a little bit west of the metro area. And we couldn't be more excited for her and Grady to tie the knot and to begin a new adventure together. But I have to tell you, any of you dads out there that have had to give away a daughter, there's just so many things that are flooding through my mind and my emotions even now. And I think I said this earlier in the week when I talked a little bit about it. I'm so happy that my daughter has found a great guy that she's going to be marrying, and they're going to be really good for the world, those two, I'm just telling you. But there's just something about your baby girl, and she's been yours, and you remember bringing her home from the hospital and carrying her in your arms, and now to see her all grown up and ready to move on into getting married. It's just a weird word has come up a lot, right? Lately about it seems like they're calling everybody who's a conservative weird these days because I've seen what they think is cool. So I'm really glad that they think we're all weird. I'm just going to say it that way. If you are a dad who's given away a daughter recently and you've been down that road before, I would love to hear from you a little bit about your perspective and how you handle all those emotions. So if that's something that you have been through not too long ago, I would appreciate hearing from you. It'd be great to hear some stories about any tips, any advice for walking your daughter down the aisle. I've been told to make sure you take it slow. First of all, because she's going to have a big dress on. You don't want her to fall. But then just to try to soak it in. Not for like a half an hour, obviously, or anything like that, but just to enjoy it. So I'm certainly going to do that. But if you have any other advice for giving away a daughter, that would be great. We could have a little fun here for the last half hour of the show. Want to tell you that if you're a business owner who needs an extra hand to meet that deadline, you need Labor Masters. Doesn't matter if you're a carpenter, an electrician, a mason, painter, landscaper, moving company, whatever it is, if you need a little help, Labor Masters, they are the people to call. I did it this morning because we've got a team member who is out a little under the weather, going to be gone a couple of days, and we really needed help taking care of our front desk area. And so I called Nancy, and within about 10 minutes, she had somebody pegged, and she showed up early, as always, ready to go to work. And we loved having Candace with us here today at the shop, and she'll be here tomorrow as well. Never been disappointed. There are very few guarantees in life. But when you call Labor Masters, I'll give you one. They are going to work very hard to get you a great person, and you're going to absolutely love working with them to find the right people for your situation that you've got going on there. So labormasters.net, labormasters.net, or call 701-566-8755. 271-1100 is the phone number, 701-271-1100. Get your tickets for the Michelle Tafoya, Liz Collins show coming here October 17th. We'll be just about 3 weeks out from the election. And a ticket starting at just $15, special discount if you're a teacher, law enforcement, or military, military active duty or veteran. And VIP tickets, too. You can get a ticket to go to the VIP reception and meet them. A couple of rock star ladies going to be in town, and we can't wait. October 17th, go to am1100theflag.com, and you can buy your tickets there. I want to give you a poll summary that I saw earlier today from Gallup. And when some of these polls come out, I go, okay, who are these people? Can we trust them? What's their story? Well, when it comes to Gallup, I feel like they've been doing it so long. There's so much credibility there. They don't want to ruin it by slanting their polls. And especially when it's issues that aren't real political, I tend to feel like you can trust most polling organizations because they don't want to have a bad rap against them. So when Gallup came out with this poll today and said, we are releasing the results of four questions. Is it morally wrong to blank? So here's what they came up with in these four. And I have to say that a couple of these really surprised me. One of them stunned me. So I'll read the four and then you can maybe guess where I was at on this. So is pornography morally wrong? 58% of people said yes. 38% of people said no. That number was higher than I thought it would be, but I wasn't shocked. Suicide, is it morally wrong? 71% of people say yes, it is. 22% say no, it's not. That surprised me a little bit too. That's almost one in four. It's more than one in five. Almost one in four. But I understand where people are coming from. I think it's an end-of-life situation where people are thinking about that and, you know, saying, okay, if you're terminal and whatever, you know, that's a tough conversation to have, no doubt. Here are the two where I was really surprised, and then I'll give you my stunner. Cheating in marriage, cheating on your spouse. 86% of people say it's morally wrong. 11% say it's acceptable. I was really surprised that that number was as high as it was in the wrong category. I just thought people these days are kind of, oh, whatever. And the only 11%, one out of 10 people think that cheating on your spouse is wrong or is acceptable. I was surprised the number wasn't higher on that. So I guess I'm refreshingly glad to see that people still have some standards there with this thing, cheating in marriage. Basically, Americans still think that that's a loser. And you're a loser if you're doing it. And here's the one that I said, you got to be kidding me. Polygamy. Is it morally wrong? 74% of people said yes, but 23% of people said no. It is morally acceptable to, unless they've changed the definition of polygamy, being married to more than one spouse. Did they do the whole thing in Utah? I don't know. But 23%, that is almost one in four Americans say, that's all right. If you want to have a couple of women in the house or a couple of guys, I was shocked by that one, I've got to say. I thought that would be a lower number than the acceptable cheating in marriage. I thought that would be single digits. That's a little creepy to me. Like walking down the street, find four people. One of the four things it's okay to have multiple wives or multiple husbands. We're not back in the days of the Israelites back then when they had wives and concubines and the whole shooting match. I don't know how that whole thing got through the code of conduct back then. I don't know. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. Not sure what you think about that one. A couple of texts here have come in. suicide and polygamy are about the same level of morally acceptable. Very interesting. Yeah, I agree there. What the heck is wrong with a culture where nearly a quarter of the people find polygamy acceptable? Yeah, I would agree with this too. Another person says, is this a poll from the Middle Ages or what? I've got one more here. The porn is wrong. People are lying. Okay, so what was that one? Wrong, 58%. Okay, so somebody says people believe more people. I think what they're saying is that people are kind of overstating their reaction to it, maybe to look better to the pollster. I can see that. If somebody calls and asks me these questions, I'm going to be tempted to say, well, no, come on now. And I think anybody would on some of these questions. There's some that you don't want to be on the record with. I would say that's a pretty sure bet there. Okay, let's see. What else has come in on the text line here? A Twitter post is shared saying, I know there were things in Project 2025 that were appealing, but what if much of it was a trap designed to hurt Trump by making him seem more extreme than he is? Remember when Lindsey Graham introduced a national abortion ban right before the 22 midterms? He knew it would tick off Democrats and drive them to vote. It was designed to hurt the red wave, and it did. Heck with Lindsey Graham and anyone trying to misdirect or defeat the MAGA movement. Well, that's interesting. Comes from a social media account run by DC Drano, which he's a guy that's got a massive following. I think a lot of people pay attention to what he says. So the Project 2025 thing is interesting, and I want to talk about this for a minute, so it leads me conveniently into a topic here. So the director of the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 vision has stepped down or left the organization, and Star Tribune is reporting it that he's leaving because of all the attacks from Democrats, and Trump has come out and said he's no fan of this too. And I think Trump is just saying, hey, why are you trying to steal my thunder here? Let me run my own campaign and my own platform for what's going to make the country good. So the guy's name is Paul Danz, and his exit comes after the project, according to a statement from the Heritage Foundation, quote, completed exactly what it was set out to do, bring together over 110 leading conservative organizations to create a unified conservative vision. I've read through Project 2025, not in detail, but I've skimmed it through. I like a lot of it. And of course, that makes me whatever name you want to go back to the Liz Collins, Michelle Tafoya conversation we had. If you say anything about Project 25, like, I think they're on to something. I love this. And I've not seen every piece of it again, but I really like what I see. Of course, I would be labeled as every vile nickname in the book, and I hate somebody, and I can't think, and I worship at the Trump altar and all that. I'm like Liz and Michelle. I don't care anymore. I just started out a lot of conversations. He says, all right, I'm a white Christian nationalist. I'm a racist, whatever. Let's get all this out of the way. So all your silly nicknames will just fall by the wayside. I'm not scared of any of them. So you're going to be labeled a huge whatever, conspiracist, Nazi, hateful, racist, whatever on this whole thing. But I like a lot of it. Now, I get what Donald Trump is saying. He's like, why are you trying to crowd my space here? And this is a Trump thing, right? You're not going to try to force some policy points on him. He's not going to handle that very well. And so he's fired back at it and said it's ultra right wing, whatever, whatever. I'm not exactly sure why he's going there, because those are a lot of his people too. But I don't know. It's, you know, who knows what the real story is, but you're going to hear two different sides of that. So thank you for the text on that one. Let's work in a phone call here quickly, and let's do this. And this, good afternoon. Tell me your name and where you're calling from.
Matt up in Moorhead.
Matt, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I had called in a couple of days. I just wanted to check in here, get you before the end of the day.
Sounds good. I got about 30 seconds before I have to hit a commercial break. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just going to say, regarding the Project 2025 thing, there's no part of me that would call you vile or disgusting or a fanatic for agreeing with us some of those tenets. I think that you get some time, read through a little bit more. I mean, the talk about dismantling some government functions is kind of what puts me at unease.
Yeah, I get that.
I think that we need reform and we need regulation, but we have to do it in a good way. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but some of the tenets that are written about in there just kind of put me off a little bit.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for giving a call. I'll let you go just in the interest of time. I don't completely disagree with what you're saying on that. I do think I've got room in my way of thinking to do some reform and change some things there. Although I do have significant concerns with what I've seen. And in some respects, obviously there's a lot of good people with any big organization, but the leadership, how it seems to have been compromised, and, you know, IRS going after conservative groups, this is not controversial anymore. This is not like a matter of debate. This is what they have been doing. The FBI going through what it is, the Department of Justice against President Trump and the whole Russian dossier, the collusion piece. I mean, we have legitimate examples of corruption within these organizations, and sometimes you've got to take some strong steps when that happens. Now, is it the right thing to fire everybody in the FBI? No, it's not. Not in my mind, it's not. The Department of Education, no, it's not. Public schools have served us very well for a long time. We get wayward sometimes in this country. It does happen. So I hear you, Matt. I would not necessarily approve of all of those things either, but I'm willing to listen because I think there have been enough offenses within those bureaus and those departments that, you know what, if this is the kind of garbage you're going to pull, you're going to allow the rest of us to put you under the microscope and see where are you at, what are you doing, and how do we fix this. So I'm up for the conversation, but I really don't think that I'm anywhere near the point to say all these institutions have served us well for a century or more. Now we're just going to throw them away. What are you going to replace them with? You're going to have to do something different to replace the function that they serve. It's a much easier said than done. All right, got a couple more texts that have come in here. Want to hit a couple notes, too. The Minnesota Twins are coming back on TV, but it's going to be a little more expensive to watch them, apparently. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, we're finishing it up here on this Tuesday. Andrew Sletten is going to be in the chair tomorrow and Thursday. And then Jim Casper will be with us, a state representative. I saw him out at the RNC having a good time out there. He'll be with us on Friday. And Andrew will be back Monday, and then I'll be in next Tuesday. So I'm going to take about a week or so and hang out with my family as we get my daughter into marital bliss here. This weekend should be a special weekend for us, no doubt about that. Minnesota Twins will be back on TV on the Comcast cable systems. It was announced by Bally Sports North yesterday after Comcast and Diamond Sports Group reached an agreement on a new contract. I understand this is also going to apply to Midco Sports Network. The catch is, if you want to get the games, they're going to put them on a higher price subscription package. So I don't know if it's right away we're going to have that or what the story is exactly, but looks like we can get them. I don't know how much more I want to pay for anything right now. We'll see. I've been able to make it through okay without having the Twins so far, but they're a pretty good young team, and they're on their way up, and they're going to be in the playoff mix, I think, the rest of the season. All right, my friend. Well, that'll do it for the Steve Hallstrom Show today. Thank you a ton for being with me here on the program. I'll miss you all. I love doing this show every day, and we'll be back doing this again next Tuesday. Until then, have a great rest of your evening, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.